This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yeah, buddy. Mark Grody is here joining us on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Groats, we appreciate you, man, because look, you hosted the morning show today. You gave us incredible drops of you singing Metallica, which was incredible. Top-notch stuff. You went out to Hallis Hall, and now aren't you hosting tomorrow too?
I am hosting in the morning tomorrow, and there is a late night Blackhawks game, and Haw is a big hockey guy, so he's going to be watching. So this is really pushing me, Lawrence.
You got to tell him to cut it out.
You let David watch that hockey game.
Yeah, that's on him. Blackhawks is on him tomorrow.
I think you're right. I was like, I got the Bulls. I got the Bulls covered. Bulls are early tonight, yes? Or are they 7?
Yes. No, they're. I think they're 7. Yep, 7 o'clock.
Sorry about that.
DePaul is at 6.
DePaul's at 6. Bulls at 7. Blackhawks later. Grody all the time. Big pile of Grody.
That's right.
Bears.
Wait, so hold on, that's you and Dustin singing Metallica together this morning?
That's just how it worked out. Yeah, oh. Dustin.
Ripping your pillow tail.
If you guys need an opening act, Spiegs, I mean, I'm ready to move on from reading the news to actually being your hype man. I mean, I think Dustin and I could do some really good things for Tributosaurus.
Were you singing the right words, or was Dustin singing the right words, and who was singing the wrong words there?
Oh, I'm why people have written books about mispronounced lyrics, or just wrong, I should say.
There was a book called "Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy."
Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
big old.
That would be me. This has been a problem I've had since childhood.
Yeah,
my older brother has been yelling at me since I was a child about my getting lyrics wrong. So that was on brand for me, for better or for worse.
So were you sleeping with one eye open as Dustin was gripping his pillow tight? Is that what that was?
Down.
Man, it's tremendous. Big old Chet had a lighter. Big old Chet had a lighter.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, man.
Very good. There's a whole book of them.
All right, Groats. Well, you know, you're killing it. And today you got a chance for more Bears as they introduce the center and the defensive end.
That is correct, Spiegel. It's been kind of a unique situation where in back-to-back days we get general manager and head coach up there and, you know, taking a few questions and essentially introducing these guys and getting out of the way for, indeed, Dio Dangbo and Drew Dalma. Good to see both of these guys here. Let's start. I've got a cut from each of these guys. And, you know, Dangbo, very interesting. You know, I was talking about on the morning show today with David Haw about how, you know, you're taking a little bit of a chance on Odangbo because the most sacks he's had in his career was 8 in his 4-year career so far. I asked Ryan Poles about it, and then I took that question to Odangbo here eventually. We'll get into that in a second. But first, Odangbo had some communication today with our guy. It's Montez Sweat.
Yeah, I FaceTimed with him today, actually, earlier today. He was training with one of my teammates out in from Indy, out in Pensacola. So, yeah, they called me today, got on the phone a little bit, texted a little bit.
Which guy?
Grover Stewart.
Yeah. In terms of your game, and I was asking about the sack numbers to Ryan Poles, and he said, put on the tape, he does so much more. But how do you respond to that? Is that part of your game that you want to see, obviously, more of the sack numbers?
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants more sacks. You know, that's the one number, how they value D linemen. So, you know, but I think anyone who's around football knows that a D-lineman's job is a lot bigger than just the sack number. And you can affect the quarterback in more ways. You know, sure, Coach Johnson would prefer a forced interception over a sack, but that doesn't show up in your sack, you know, category. So those are the type of things that help the team win that don't necessarily show up in the stat sheet in that sense. So, you know, that's a big part of my game. But, yeah, I definitely want to see my sack numbers increase. And, you know, that just comes with, you know, growth and, you know, just sticking to the plan.
How would you describe your game and your personality when you take the field?
I would say relentless. That'd be my biggest thing. You know, I don't want to ever stop chasing after the ball, chasing after the quarterback, making plays for the team. You know, full effort, you know, bringing energy to the team on the sideline and on the field. So I would definitely describe my game as relentless.
So, you know, let's be honest about something that hasn't come up. And I think it's fairly obvious just from a statistical perspective. But judging a defensive lineman by sack numbers
is incomplete.
It's ridiculous.
It should be like the first thing that you look at.
Sure.
But it shouldn't be the only thing
you got to go deeper. It's like only looking at home run total over a buck 62. We've gotten smart enough to look at exit velocity. We've gotten smart enough to look at slugging percentage, you know, to look at percentage things. And we've gotten, even in hockey, just looking at goals. No, you look at scoring opportunities. So you look at Corsi, and you look at stuff like that. You got to look at pass rush win rate, you know?
Pressures
and things like that to really find out, because
and then you have to
look. It's a crazy thing.
Statistically, I do think that it's important to try and marry some of these things. So you can also just kind of look at tape of the player and see, is this player winning battles? Are they beating doubles? Now, you do want the production. Like, I don't want to act like getting the quarterback on the ground is not important.
No, it is. And we'd be praising if it's 16, 17 sacks, we'd be praising, and he'd be getting a lot more money. But, like, you know, sacks are, they can sometimes be, there can be a happenstance factor. Just like there's a puck luck factor, you know, and things like that. There can be that. I'm interested in Ryan Poles saying, just watch the tape, you know.
Yeah.
If you watch the tape, you're going to see a lot more stuff.
Yeah, but do we really have that? What you guys said is all correct and very disciplined on your part, but I'll use that word again. Do we actually have the discipline? Have we ever had the discipline to grade a defensive end and say, oh, that's okay, he's only got 6 sacks, look at all the other things he's doing? No. We're going to be saying, how come he doesn't have more sacks? Why can't this guy get to double-digit sacks? So I hope that we could look at him that way, but when have we ever done that for any Bears players? Giving Montez Sweat, you could talk about all the things he does, but if he's not getting 10 sacks a year considering what he is paid, we're not going to look at all the other peripheral statistics.
I would argue that if you watched the games and watched the tape on Montez Sweat, he was disappointing last year, irrespective of the sack total. You know what I mean? Like I felt like, obviously the sack total is there, but if you actually watched the games and saw the breakdowns, yeah, you'd be disappointed as well. He had a rough year.
He did not make many plays last year. You're right. I mean, not enough, you know, tackles for loss, not enough disruption, not enough quarterback hits, all of that kind of stuff. I just have a hard time. I hope you guys are right. And what you guys said was spot on. I don't know if we can, especially since it's been a while since there has been two legitimate guys rushing the quarterback. Can we actually look at Odangbo and say, that's okay, what you have done for the Bears, what you're providing, the disruption that you are providing. And maybe, you know, maybe the effect of Grady Jarrett and Odangbo will wake up to a different guy. Actually, that's the wrong way to put it with Jervon Dexter. I think he has gotten better in his 2 years here, but maybe affects him more.
Jervon is another guy where the sack total doesn't tell the whole story.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah, especially the interior guys for sure, Lawrence. Yeah, I never look at that. It's unbelievable when you can find an Aaron Donald type who gets to the quarterback. That's why he is considered one of the greatest defensive players of all time. This is a guy from the interior getting to – if a guy could do that, that's about as special of a talent that exists. But from that end spot, I always feel like more is going to be expected no matter what the tape says, no matter what the peripherals say.
I heard a great Aaron Donald story.
Was it one from Wani about the light being on?
No, it was a Matthew Stafford story. He may have been on the pivot, but he was saying how they were at the facility and there was a Make-A-Wish kid who had beaten cancer and he loved Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald's like, man, this is great. Come and work out with me. And Stafford was like, just like rolling his eyes because he knew what was getting ready to happen because Aaron Donald doesn't go half speed.
Yeah.
So this kid from Make-A-Wish ends up throwing up because he's working out so hard with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's like, I mean, yeah, like this is what we do. This is how we get down. Huh. So he didn't take it easy on the kid that beat cancer. He didn't take it easy on him at all. Yeah. He's got him throwing up in a bucket over there.
Just ain't right, man.
That's awesome.
And I think I actually heard that. I think it was on the Midday Show. And of course, immediately Bernstein says, oh boy, I hope that there was some sort of liability insurance there. He threw up. Yeah, I'm sure
hey, as
somebody else, I think it was Layla who said so he probably had to sign something.
Sure. Well, you know, nothing lights up the sports radio phone lines like liability insurance. You know what I mean? That really gets the crowd going.
What about Drew Dalman? You think he can get this crowd going, Speaks? I mean, you're a former center, man.
Thanks for pointing that out. No, we enjoyed Drew Dalman, and we're going to talk to Drew Dalman tomorrow at 4 o'clock right here.
Sick.
On this radio show. But you tell us what you liked from Drew Dalman when he spoke to you guys off to the side, Groats.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing that I will say is, again, when he walks into the room, I'm still feeling relief for the sake of the Bears in terms of, you know, that this is, you know, Coleman Shelton was fine last year. We talked about that a lot, but this is a legitimate guy. This is a top five center in the National Football League. With all the issues the Bears have had at center in the last 5 or 6 years, it's still nice to see him and to think about what him, Jonah Jackson, and Joe Tooney are going to do on that inside. Let me play a little bit of Drew Dalman here, and keep in mind that he has worked with a lot of different quarterbacks in his time in Atlanta: Michael Penix, Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins. So all different types, rookies, veterans, which again probably portends well for him working with this fresh quarterback and Caleb Williams. Here is Dalman on that versatility of different quarterbacks.
Yeah, I feel like it really emphasizes, there's a ton of importance placed on quarterback. That's not surprising, but there's 10 other guys out there that can help and make things easier. And so I think when you go through those changes, it really emphasizes, all right, what can each individual do to help with the whole unit and help the whole thing run smoothly. So I feel like that kind of process of self-evaluation, what can I do to help? What can I do to help the team, the unit, individual players, that kind of thing, is definitely top of mind. So I think that that'll be something that we'll work on, and it's kind of business as usual as for any offense is learning, like, how can they optimize and be better.
Do you anticipate being a vocal leader in the room?
I feel like my style is often, I feel like I have to prove myself and prove that my process works, and that I'm a good teammate and a good person and all those things before that even begins to enter my mind. And then you also just the dynamics of the room. Like, I'm I'm entering a room as a stranger, and so I got to forge all those relationships and things like that. So I think it'll play out how it plays out, but I'll just focus on the things that approaching the game in a way that I know is respectable and effective and good and will help me kind of ingratiate myself with those guys.
Drew, how do you, obviously it's new to you because you're new to the Bears, but yeah. It's also phase one of Ben Johnson, and it's a lot of new offensive linemen coming in too.
Yeah. I guess it's helpful that everybody's in the same boat, you know, at least from my perspective. If you're joining something established, there's probably a sense of trying to get to speed, and I definitely felt that when I was joining with the Falcons and everything. And so I think it's fun that we're all in the same boat, we're all learning together, we're all growing together, and we're all trying to figure out what it looks like for us, you know.
Drew Dahlman.
And they're not a bunch of rookies. That's why I like to. I mean, I love the idea of these three guys coming in together to figure it out. And it always sounds fun to say, oh, the three rookies are coming in together. You know, last year, Caleb and Roma Dunze. But to have three veteran guys coming in together that can figure it out together and help everybody else on that line, I love that part.
Me too. I like that now you have a full veteran offensive line. And you have an ascending right tackle in Darnell Wright. The left tackle spot is still a thing. So even if they end up with a rookie left tackle, I'm probably okay with it because of the experience on the rest of the line. But it was interesting how even yesterday you heard Ben Johnson kind of give an endorsement of Braxton Jones at the left tackle spot. So I'm with you. I like the idea that there are some veteran savvy that you can put together, and there isn't the learning on the job is everyone learning instead of learning how to play football at the professional level.
Guys, we have some breaking news, and breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. The Bears have signed a wide receiver, and it is Olamide Zaccheaus, the former Washington Commander. Former Eagle before that, spent 4 years in Atlanta before that, all of those with Dan Quinn. So Dan Quinn has gone out and gotten him twice. And Olamide Zaccheaus had a pretty nice year last year. It was his best year as a pro, most productive year as a pro. There was a moment where, because of injuries, he was kind of the main dude down the stretch in December for Washington and led them in targets for a couple of weeks in a row. But Olamide Zaccheaus is the wide receiver signee for the Bears here 72 hours or so after the opening of free agency. And, you know, it's Grody. It's interesting. We talked about guys like Tyler Lockett and Tim Patrick and Josh Reynolds, those last two former Detroit Lions. Olamide Zaccheaus, the former Commander, now set to be a Bear. I'm sure on a nice bargain contract, a dude on the rise, willing and capable blocker, almost 200 pounds and a physical guy.
We were just talking, Dweeter and I were just doing a taping of the Take the North podcast, which will drop tomorrow morning. And the last thing that we discussed was, okay, other needs. And number one is more wide receivers. So, and a veteran one at that. We discussed, for whatever it's worth, we talked about that, you know, unless Keenan Allen has signed while I've been on the air, that is still out there. And we'll see how patient the Bears will be, or if Keenan Allen, who said that he would either want to go to the Bears or back to the Chargers, that's what they need. The Bears still need veteran presence in that wide receiver room other than DJ Moore. I mean, you still have Roma Dunze, who I think is a ascending player as well. I think that he could look a lot different this year, but you still need sure wide receivers who, as I said on the podcast, know exactly what they're doing on a football field.
I mean, maybe there'll be another one. Could be another veteran wide receiver
I would not be surprised, Speaks. I would not be surprised.
Right, but I mean, this is a guy who's willing. He's not going to worry about how many targets he gets as the number three. Keenan Allen, I think, would be worried about how many targets he gets as the number three. And this is a year where Rome's going to be the guy on a team that's going to run the ball an awful lot. You know,
well, everybody was going to have 1,000 yards last year. Remember that, Speaks? It was like the race to 1,000.
Yeah.
DJ, Rome.
There's a lot going on there.
That didn't age well.
It's fine, though. It's a whole different ball game now, and this is a better choice. Groats, get some sleep.
I'm going to try. Actually, the funny part about it is I'm about to go in the newsroom. My buddy Carmen is out there. We're going to go watch the Bulls game. So wait a minute. So I am getting in my fancy car and going to sit up at a bar
Here
in just a little bit.
There
so
it is.
OB is wrong about
are you going to tell people you're the best? You know, beating his chest. You got to beat your chest. Tell people you're the best.
I'm going to beat my chest. Yeah, I'm going to do all that stuff. I am fancy, as it turns out. Yes,
the open is dead. Open is dead. We'll get a different one next time.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Bears. Mark.
Mark Grody does an incredible job doing anything that we ask of him here at The Score. Tomorrow morning, he will be on Mully and Haw, sitting in for Mully, and he continues to. And who knows if the Bears, maybe they'll throw another press conference.
They could. Well. I mean, for Olamide's,
sure.
Zacchaeus? Olamide.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Olamide.
I wonder if he goes by Ola. That's an interesting question for him. He had a fumble in the game that they played against the Bears.
Oh, yeah, he did have a fumble in that game, yeah.
And then, of course, things went haywire and the Bears lost.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. That game
you don't remember that game?
No, there was a failed Hail Mary. And
they won. They were 5-2 after that.
They were 5-2. And
they went to the playoffs.
They won 10 in a row. Matt Eberflus still the coach.
Won the Super Bowl.
I remember it well.
All that stuff. While the segment was going on, I reached out to our friend Steven Nelson.
The Dodgers play-by-play voice.
Yeah, Chicago's very own. And I reached out to him on Instagram because I didn't know if, you know, phones don't always work internationally.
Uh-huh.
And he texted me and he's like, hey, because I said, hey, how about tomorrow you come on because it's about 7:22 there. And he's like, do you mean tomorrow as in Friday? Because it's already Friday here. And I was like, you're up. He's like, yeah. So he's going to join us.
Let's check in Japan and bring that global event closer to us.
Yes, Chicago's very own Steven Nelson, Dodgers play-by-play man, is going to join us to talk about this trip to Tokyo next.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Joe Buck, do you know that Spiegs is doing ads for a hair treatment that he doesn't need?
The idea of you doing any sort of hair restoration thing makes me gag. Now, good for you. Yeah. It's all in the name of commerce, and I tip my cap. That's hiding my thin hair.
I haven't seen you on...
Afternoons on The Score.
At some point, we need to check in with Buck, see how he's doing, just to say hey. But there's another play-by-play guy that we could check in with right now. My friend. I did not expect Steven Nelson to even respond until later on today about him coming on the show tomorrow, which he very astutely pointed out, hey, moron, it's tomorrow in Japan.
Yeah, the 14-hour ahead time difference from Chicago to Tokyo is a very confusing thing, and it got us a guest in real time. That's awesome.
It did. Steven Nelson does an incredible job of doing baseball for the Dodgers. He also does an incredible job of reading highlights whenever he is put on the TV. He is an amazing human being, and I'm glad that he picked up the phone for us. He's on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Steven, thanks so much for joining us. What has this trip already been like for you, the Dodgers, and the Cubs?
Loho, Spiegs, great to hear from you both. I come to you from the future. Yeah. Yeah, brother. So, for the folks listening, I wake up because I'm jet lagged as hell. I don't know where I am or what time it is. I barely know what country I'm in, and I see a message from Lawrence Holmes. I'm like, oh, what's Loho up to? And he's like, hey, you want to come on the show? It's 7 a.m. I look at the clock, and it's like 7:05. I'm like, do you mean right now? And he's like, no, I meant tomorrow, but can you do right now? Like, sure, why not? I'm not going to bed anytime soon. So here we are. So thanks for having me on.
What is the future like? What can we expect from the future, Steven? Like, do things work out well for us tomorrow?
Well, looking out the window, speaks, you can expect darkness, which is, you know, a little bit apropos. it's kind of appropriate, I think. Honestly, I think you can expect a real epic, you know, 5 to 6 days between these two teams, two storied franchises, obviously. And honestly, like, you can understand why they were handpicked for a series like this. You know, I think obviously both teams will play a couple exhibitions here over the weekend, but By the time Yamamoto and Imanaga told us the lab for game one of the season, I just think, you know, two countries are going to be on fire. It's going to be, I think you're going to see ratings records probably, especially for that first game, just because of the way baseball draws here in Japan, especially and with that pitching matchup and what it means historically, two of the best teams in the National League heading into the season. It's got all the ingredients for something epic.
For those of us who don't understand this, what is life for Shohei Ohtani like in Japan?
So has anybody watched The Avengers? Truly, this man, like, he's can't be a normal human anymore, anywhere, but especially here. I was joking with some members of our esteemed security staff, and I was like, "Hey, we got to the point where you got to like set up, you know, like underground paths for people, and shell game car rides and things like that." And he just kind of laughed, but he didn't deny it. So I don't know, just to put it into context. Last time I was here in Japan was the World Baseball Classic a couple years ago. And Lars Nootbaar of the St. Louis Cardinals, he's half Japanese just like I am, and he was playing for the Japanese national team, first non-Japanese-born player to represent Samurai Japan. And he became like this national sensation in the country. Lars is a good player. Like, he just got to stay healthy for St. Louis, but he really endeared himself to the country of Japan here quickly. And he told me at that time, he's like, I walked outside just to like go get a snack at 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven is a huge deal in Japan. And he's like, I got mobbed. So he's like, if that's happening to me, can you imagine what happens if Shohei Ohtani just steps foot outside in public? Like, so it's just, it's at a level you can't really imagine. Like, you see his face everywhere on billboards. So he's just kind of a superhero. But the way he carries himself and compartmentalizes, you would never know it.
I enjoyed watching you post about this, and you and I have a lot of conversations about culture and identity, just text to each other. We talk about this type of stuff. And I know that you were there for the WBC. What's this like for you to now have another trip to the motherland and having this opportunity to be the voice of this?
Man, it's been really a really special couple of years. So in 2023, we came to Japan for the first time as a family where my mother's ancestors are from. And then, last year we went to Italy, where my father, who, for those who don't know, my paternal side is from Mount Prospect and from Chicagoland. And so that's why, I grew up diehard Chicago sports fan. So the last 2 years, like being able to like try and pull at the roots and learn more about where I come from has been such a fulfilling experience. With the Japanese side specifically, like I remember calling games in the Tokyo Dome in 2023, and I had to have my hand like on the cough button because I was just so overwhelmed with emotion. They're playing the Japanese national anthem, and or just even like during game action, man. Like, because the atmosphere in Japan is for baseball is unlike anything. I don't know what it's going to be like for Dodgers Cubs specifically, because there's going to be fans of both sides. I know there are two Cubs home games. I'm imagining that the Dodgers it'll probably sound a little bit more like the Dodgers being the home team, but I don't know. But for the national team, like when they are pitching, the Tokyo Dome was deathly silent. And I remember looking at Jose Moto, my partner. I was like, are we calling golf right now? Because we don't want to talk too loud. We feel like we had to whisper. But then when Samurai Japan was batting, it was so raucous and so loud. Every player had individual chants, personalized chants for every single player. And just like the fan section, the taiko drum section, like it's just a surreal thing. So I just remember being overwhelmed with emotion just because it was my first time in Japan. I'm calling games for the World Baseball Classic. Samurai Japan, they're going for their third WBC title. Ultimately, they did win it. And so it was just like a really, I keep saying, crystallizing experience to be here for that tournament. And so now to be back, like with the Dodgers and the Dodgers and Cubs, I won't be calling those games. Joe will for Sportsnet, but I'll be reporting from the field, just kind of giving some, you know, I think cultural insights and kind of Japanese baseball stories there. But personally, this is epic.
You just made it personal for us, man. That was really cool. And it's great to think about you. From Mount Prospect to there, and you doing some sideline work and some insights on the culture. That sounds like actually a really, really good fit. Looking at the Cubs' social media feed, there have been parties. There have been parties. There have been, you know, they went and broke a sake barrel with Shohei Imanaga. You know, like, are the Dodgers doing that kind of stuff too? Because their social media feed just shows some practice. Like, they're practicing for the games, which seems a little more professional, frankly. But I wonder how much they're giving in.
Well, in defense of the Cubs, they did get here a day earlier.
Uh-huh.
So they had a little bit more time to adjust. And so, like, the tip is when you go anywhere, but here, it's like you got to hit the ground running. And so by the time we got to the hotel, you know, there was a team dinner, and then it was like, hey, buses are loading up to go to the workout. Because it just helps you, your body, sort of acclimate. Now, in hindsight, I probably should have done sort of a physical workout. but I ain't cut from the pro athlete cloth, fellas. So I settled for food and a casual stroll around the city for a little bit. But yeah, so I think that is why there haven't been the party posts just yet. From our social media team, who run by Sue Joe, by the way, who's got Chicago ties. So anyway, I think that's going to be happening today, and then obviously the exhibitions kick off tomorrow. But I did kind of look at the Cubs photos, and it looks like Mike and Seiya are taking care of their teammates.
You can do whatever you want then. You can go with Shohei Nelson. If he can go with Mike, you can do whatever you want, Steven.
So this is funny. Last night, like, walking around, I stupidly, like, went out in a Dodgers hoodie, and these fans, like, walked up to me, and they're like, Senshu, and they're like, that means player. And I'm like, no. I just start laughing at them. I mean, no. Do I look like I play professional baseball
with the hoodie on? Maybe with the hoodie.
Well, with the hoodie on. But no. I think. I don't know. Honestly, my brain just went dead, and I'm going to blame that on the jet lag.
That's totally fine. Well, what are you planning on doing today? Like, what is there anything fun that, or is it all going to be work?
Ooh. No. Definitely going to be fun. Because when I did the WBC, like, a lot of the traveling and tourism stuff I did was outside Tokyo. By the time we got to Tokyo, I was kind of locked in on the tournament because you're doing, like, two games a day. So I really didn't get to explore Tokyo much like my family did. So I definitely am just going to kind of venture around and see some of the local sites and, you know, historic sites. And really just got to kind of get a feel for the city because I wasn't able to last time. But you know, the way one of our Japanese staff who was traveling sort of put it, just to kind of give some local context for those who are curious, I was like, hey, what's the atmosphere going to be like? They're like, well, if you can imagine the Beatles touring with Beyonce, like, that's what these next few days might feel like.
Wow.
So it really is sort of like that, you know, and that's sort of hard to fathom for multiple generations of music fans, but like if that kind of rings true, I think we're in for a really special kickoff for the season.
You know, for breakfast here in the lame old States, Steven, I'll have like a breakfast burrito, maybe a breakfast sandwich, some bacon, like some truly greasy stuff. In Japan, it's like it's rice and miso soup, right? And like it's like this incredibly healthy, like earnest and clean breakfast. Are you going to go downstairs and hit the buffet, and will you have the Japanese stuff or the Western stuff like I had this morning?
Oh, Steve, that is a phenomenal question. Yeah, look, I do love a breakfast burrito. It might be the perfect breakfast. It's got a little bit of everything in it, right?
Yes!
If you like it, If you like a breakfast burrito, if you don't like a breakfast burrito, I don't like you. I think being here, I'm just gonna lean into Japanese food, and you know, because the blue zone out here, right? Everybody lives longer, and so they must be doing something right. And that, a lot of that has to do with the pace with which at which you eat, the time at which you stop eating. My wife is on me all the time because I just inhale food, so I need to slow down a little bit. But I'm definitely gonna lean towards the kind of the local cuisine. While I'm here, I'm not going to get too weird. But
you'll probably add a couple years on the back end of your life.
That's right.
Even just to spend these 8 days eating right.
And he needs it because he got them young kids. He got to be here a while,
bro. Loho, you just took the words out of my mouth. It's just that's called like universal balance. I'm going to try and eat healthy because I know when I get home, my wife's going to be like, both of these demons are yours. So, so the years will be immediately subtracted from my life.
Steven, we appreciate you picking up the phone, man. Thank you so much for this. Have a great, wonderful trip. And I know that you'll take advantage of all of the cool cultural aspects of this and sharing it with the audience for Sportsnet. I can't think of a better person to be in this role than you. And we'll check back in with each other. But, you know, Dodgers White Sox first week of July. That's when you and I can really have a conversation, sir.
Is it a conversation or is it going to be a therapy session? We shall find. I will be on the call for those games. The last 2 years, I did not call the Dodgers White Sox series. This year, I will. So that's going to be interesting for your boy here.
That's
this one is too, because like you know, my dad's he's the oddball. He's the one that grew up a White Sox fan. But my grandparents, my late grandfather, my uncles and aunt, like they all bleed Cubby blue. So to be here for this series, and you know, I know there should be a lot of optimism on the north side. Probably should have been a little bit more action, but they're still going to be a heavyweight this year. But anyways, we'll kick that can down the road anytime. You know, Loho speaks. You want to waste some airtime on me? I'm with you.
Thanks, Steven.
My dude, I appreciate you. Talk soon, man.
Nothing says heated and even rivalry like Dodgers and White Sox.
Well, here's the thing. The thing that he didn't say and the reason why it's going to be weird for him.
Sox fan, hardcore.
Crazy I know. Sox I know. Fan.
I know.
Shane-level Sox fan. Steven Nelson.
There you go. Shane is running the board, doing fine on his maiden voyage on the new board here. He's shaking his head. I don't know where the
left. It's okay.
That's perfect.
Look,
perfect. Yeah, no.
Was that me? No.
You're just kind of in the talkback, but that's okay.
Is it me now? Did I turn on this one?
Yeah, I think that's what you did.
Yeah, go back over there. I like that, though. That was perfect. Lawrence, we need to let you bloom. We need to let you fly and feel really good and crow about a team that won. It may be emblazoned upon your short.
That's right.
Spiegel and Holmes on the score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Afternoons on the score.
So in the Big East tournament, last night, as heard right here on the score, the DePaul Blue Demons beat Georgetown for their third straight win, and they beat Georgetown for the third time on the season. They're 14-18, having won the first game of the Big East tournament, but three wins against Georgetown is quite something, and they play soon again. Lawrence Holmes, how proud are you?
I'm very proud of watching what DePaul has done. I love what Chris Holtman has done. I think he's put in a floor. Now we get to see where they go. They've got some four-star recruits coming in next year. Last night's game was pretty incredible. NJ Benson, who had been injured for a month, came off the bench, scored 18 points for them. He was the man in the middle. They dumped the ball down to him, and he made a lot of plays. So they take on a Creighton team tonight that is very good. DePaul hasn't beaten Creighton in the last 22 games.
Wait, is this your 60 seconds? Did you just start it?
No.
Because we had a timer.
Oh. He's about 40 seconds in. Maybe 45
seconds in. Well, anyway, here's Chris Holtman talking about them advancing to play Creighton.
Sean talked me out of it.
He apparently lost.
That's not him.
No.
But that's okay because Shane's working with the board and he hasn't worked with the board for forever.
Hey, be careful now, okay?
Still not him.
Is that CBS Sports Radio?
They say he took a knee, but
I think that is.
Here's CBS Sports Radio.
I think that is CBS Sports Radio.
It happens.
Dude, it happens. All three of us have run the board.
Oh, my God.
And we've also been away from the board for a while.
I've also had nightmares about running the board.
I was telling Shane that if you put me on a board, I could probably run it if you gave me a week of reps. But he was just kind of thrown onto the board because Tanny had a flight to catch.
Yeah.
He's got the day off tomorrow, so he's getting out of town.
But you're wearing the Blue Demons basketball sweatshirt.
I got Billy on here.
Strong backbone.
Hey!
That's him!
The score. Oh, man.
We had it and then we lost it. It's fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it. You'll hear from Chris Holtmann after they beat Creighton tonight. How about that?
Damn, look at that.
We got a pretty strong backbone, and that's a credit to our guys. We have Chicago kids that just came here for the right reasons because they want to help DePaul basketball take a step forward.
That's right. Look at that group of kids. Isaiah Rivera, who's a guy you should keep your eye on. He is a really exciting player. So if you're watching the game will be on Peacock. Shout out to my guy Jordan Cornett, who was doing the post-game show. Gave me a shout out on the post-game show last night. So that's pretty crazy that happened.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And the thing is that I went to the Georgetown game on Saturday. And I have really started to dislike Ed Cooley, the head coach of Georgetown. He broke a dry erase board. He was so frustrated with what DePaul was doing against Georgetown's press. They like to press. They like to get after you. And they have beat – DePaul has won 5 games in the Big East this year. 3 of them have been against Georgetown.
Insane. That's crazy, man.
So I'm super excited about tonight. I'm excited about the – look, I don't believe that they're going to make a run and get to the tournament – although they are only 3 wins away from doing it. They played Creighton really tough last month. I was at that game, too. They lost by 10, but that game was close with about 2 minutes left. It was one of those games where the free throws end up changing the way that the game looked. I give them a chance tonight. I give them a chance. And if they win tonight, I'm going to be a problem tomorrow. If DePaul is in the Big East semifinal tomorrow, I'm going to be a problem
all
tomorrow.
Right. Well, we'll be ready for it. That's for damn sure.
So, yeah, this is a good group of kids. CJ Gunn, Isaiah Rivera, and watch. Watch to see if NJ Benson is doing the same thing that he was doing last night. I imagine he jumped to the top of the scouting report for Creighton because he handled business down in the post.
Well, this has been fun. It's been a good show. I'm wishing you and DePaul well tonight. Have really enjoyed all the conversations today. Steven Nelson was great, man.
Yeah, man.
That was really, really fun.
I'm glad that the folks in the mob, they really liked that interview. Steven's good peoples, man. One of my favorites in this entire industry.
It's very cool. John Morosi was real good today, talking baseball stuff with him. You heard all the tape from Alice Hall, Drew Dahlman, and Mark Rohde was great with us earlier today as well. And Jared Payton kicked us off early on in the show.
Outstanding work by all involved. Thanks to Chris Tannehill, who's on his way to go enjoy some time off. Thanks to Shane Reardon.
Yeah, thanks, Tanny.
For his hard work on today's show. For my partner, Speaks, I'm Lawrence, and I'm saying thanks so much for the love and support you show this show. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow at 2:00. Go Blue Demons!